Let me start with a little preface, a little observation about something unusual about the Liturgy of the Word today. You know the pattern very well, the Liturgy of the Word. The first reading is taken from either from the Old Testament or from the letters of the New Testament, usually letters of Paul, then the Psalm, one of the Psalms of David, and then a passage from the Gospels. Well, today's first reading, yes, is from Paul's letter to the Romans. It's a beautiful letter, it's a very profound letter, and it's a long letter. This is the second week we're studying Romans, and we're going to study Romans or ponder sections from the letter to the Romans for three more weeks. In the Gospel, we take another selection from the Gospel of Luke. This is standard for ordinary time, right? We save the Gospel of John for the special seasons, but the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, we read during ordinary time. We start with Mark in January, February, then Matthew, middle of the year, and then as we get closer to the end of the year, the liturgical year, we read from Luke, so that's all standard. What's unusual today is that the psalm is not a psalm, it's a selection from the Gospel. In fact, it's a canticle from St. Luke's Gospel, the Canticle of Zechariah. So this is not unheard of, but it is a little bit unusual, and I think it's a good starting point for us. What is this canticle telling us, or what are we pondering here? Anyone who prays morning prayer, and many of you pray morning prayer, are very familiar with this Canticle of Zechariah, sometimes known by the Latin title, the Benedictus, because we pray it every single day. I mean, people who pray morning prayer have this memorized. And the Canticle of Zechariah is Zechariah's first words after 9 months of silence, and he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to sing the praises of the Lord. Part of what he's rejoicing in is the birth of his son, who's a prophet of the Most High. Now, you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. That's part of what Zechariah says. But in the first part of the canticle, Zechariah is actually reflecting on God's faithfulness to his promises. And that's the parts that we see in today's psalm. He's honoring the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. Blessed be the Lord. Why? Because he has promised. He's promised through his holy prophets that he would save us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers. He swore an oath to our father Abraham. Promise, promise, promise. And he has fulfilled his promises. He is faithful. So what Zechariah is celebrating here is the faithfulness of God to his promises. And he's expressing his own faith. Zechariah is expressing his own faith that God is trustworthy. Remember, 9 months before he sang this canticle, he was doubting whether God will actually do what he promised. So now he's believing. And this canticle is selected by the church to go along with today's first reading, which is about Abraham's faith. Abraham, this is not the first time we've encountered Abraham. He's the great Old Testament example of faith. He's our father in faith. He's the one who was given extraordinary promises, unbelievable promises, right? You're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to receive this land, which I had promised to you and your descendants. Extraordinary promises, and Abraham believes. He believes what God says. He puts faith in God. Without any evidence that it's going to happen, he makes a pure and beautiful and strong and repeated act of faith. So Abraham is the example set before us here, and the canticle of Zechariah celebrates that this promise to Abraham is now coming to fulfillment in the birth of John and in the one who will come after him, Jesus. Okay, so this is a necessary disposition for us in everything that we do. Yesterday we reflected on the need to persevere in prayer. Why do we have to persevere in prayer? Because it looks like nothing's happening when we pray. It looks like the poor widow in yesterday's gospel, looks like God is an unjust judge, a dishonest judge, and he's not paying any attention to our just cry. That's what it looks like to us, unless we have faith. That's what it looked like to Abraham as well. Abraham had no children, remember, for years. So how could God's promise be fulfilled if he doesn't have any children? But to persevere in faith, to persevere in prayer, that's the way that is being set before us here. Okay, so we have this faith perspective. Let me take a look at how faith applies to our everyday experience and our everyday needs. And for this, we turn to the gospel, where someone asks Jesus to tell his brother to share the inheritance. So this is not a faith perspective. This is a natural perspective. I deserve to get this money from our family, from our whatever ancestral heritage, and my brother is keeping my part, and that's not fair, and so this should be corrected. Now, it's not an unjust request, but Jesus doesn't take it up. He sidesteps the request because he wants us to have the perspective of faith. So even if our relatives give us what is due to us, or even if they don't, that doesn't change the faithfulness of God. And our trust is in God, not in human justice or injustice. So he doesn't enter into this. Now, part of the reason this is important to ponder is because this sort of concern is before us every single day. Maybe not inheritance issues, although they're very, very common, but concern for earthly goods, concern for earthly advancement. I was at the parish yesterday, and I was struck by how many people made requests for prayers or for blessings for specific needs. You know, it's very common for people to ask a blessing on their birthday or blessing of religious items, but people ask for blessing for their work, starting a new job, or looking for work, or blessing on the beginning of a new business, or someone in the family is going abroad to work. And these are all very common. And I had so many people come up to me and ask for these blessings for earthly advancement. Now, the beautiful thing about that, and I love to give a blessing for anyone who requests it, the beautiful thing is they're applying faith to this practical level of life, right? Work, money, jobs, business, okay, investments, whatever. I mean, everybody's dealing with stuff like that all the time. How am I going to afford to raise my children? How am I going to pay my bills? What kind of work should I do? What work should my children do? And how can they advance? And how can we have some security? That's normal, a concern of everybody. But it's not the concern of everybody to apply faith to these things. And that's the important thing, right? It's no big surprise that someone's concerned about their inheritance or about their job security or about their livelihood. That's not everybody's like that. In fact, most people from day to day or week to week are trying to make sure that they and their families have some security. That's no surprise. But faith gives us a different perspective on this, and this is what Jesus shifts the. He does. He shifts the attention of the crowd away from a just concern for inheritance to this parable about the rich man who's not worried about his inheritance because he has plenty himself. See how the parable seems to be not connected directly to the request of the man who asked for help getting his inheritance. The parable is not about inheritance. The parable is about a rich man who gets even richer. And then he's asking himself, well, what am I going to do with my abundance? Not many people are in this condition, but I mean, it does happen. People get abundance, and then they say, well, now what do I do? Some people have so much, you know, the trillionaires, the billionaires, they have so much, they don't know what to do with their money. They don't know what to do with it. And so they say, well, what should I do? Well, I'll build a bigger barn. I'll build a bigger business. I'll invest in some very profitable high-risk investment, or what do they call that? Cryptocurrency, or something like that. So, what's wrong with that? Well, this lack of faith. Where's faith? Where's the question about God's will? Where's the question about what God wants us to do with whatever we have. That's what's missing in this rich man, the parable of the rich man. The rich man does not ask God what he should do. He asks himself what he should do, and he comes up with his own solution. I'm going to save it up. I'm going to cling to it, and then I will enjoy it for the rest of my life. The funny thing about rich people is when they get too concerned about clinging, they actually don't enjoy it. They really don't enjoy their wealth because they're so worried about losing it or so worried about how to invest it or preserve it. It's actually people who are detached from their possessions who can actually enjoy them more. So, okay, I have this, let's share it. Let's celebrate with this. Let's use this for some good work. Or let's be generous to our relatives, or generous to our community, or to the poor. But if God gives us something, let's make use of it in a way that gives joy to everyone. Those are the people who experience the blessing. But rich people who are caught up in greed, they're actually trapped, and they don't enjoy it. This is why Jesus says, take care to guard against all greed. Guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. The problem with greed is money is what's going to make me happy. And as soon as we make that decision, we're not happy. If we make the decision of faith, the Lord is what will make me happy, then we can be happy, even if we have no money. See the difference? Now, the mention of greed, I think, is significant because the Philippines is in a period of fighting against greed and corruption. I discovered that I heard this was going on when I was out of the country. There was a new fervor to fight against corruption. It's kind of erupted a month or two ago. And then the Bishops' Conference has set aside from the Feast of the Holy Rosary up until the Feast of Christ the King, prayers every week against corruption, for right use of government power and taxes. And yesterday was World Mission Sunday, so I prepared some of my reflection on the World Mission Sunday. When I got to the parish, nobody was at all concerned about World Mission Sunday because all the prayers, including the prayer for the nation and the prayers of the faithful, were all about the fight against corruption. Okay, so I'm just saying, this gospel where Jesus says, take care to guard against all greed, exactly right. And that's exactly why the bishops are right in saying, no, don't give in to greed, and don't let your elected officials give in to greed, and don't let your pastors give in to greed, and don't let corruption drag you down from the perspective of faith and trap you in unhappiness and dissatisfaction. That's what greed does. Anyway, here's the parable. The man turns out to be a fool, not because he saved up his money, but because he didn't think about God and what God's will was. And he was, what does he say? This night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Okay. Our life belongs to God. We do not belong to this world. We are not called to be slaves of our possessions, or to put our hope in our possessions. We are rich. We're rich if we have faith. We're rich if we have God. And that's why Jesus says, don't store up treasure for yourselves, but be rich in what matters to God. Anyone who comes to daily Mass knows what he's talking about, because just being here makes us rich. It's a rich congregation, because we're rich in the Word, rich in faith, rich in the sacraments, rich in opportunity to pray, rich in closeness to God. Now, it doesn't mean that we're always experiencing consolation, but if we have any sense of what faith means, we know that we have been blessed. And our prayer is gratitude. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people. He has come to me. He's come to us. Whether we have a barn full of grain, or we have nothing in our pocket, That's not actually the crucial thing. What's important is faith. Faith, which is our living connection with God, it's the source of our real treasure.